Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the fellowship here again this morning. Trust that as you entered into that time of praise and worship and singing together, that it was truly a time of being able to meet with the Father here this morning. We are beginning a new year, and for many of us, I shouldn't say for many, let me back up a step. For none of us do we know what the future holds. None of us know this morning what is to come. None of us know what next week has to hold. None of us know what is to happen when we walk out of these doors this morning. So there is a whole lot of faith and trust that needs to be put in our Lord and the plan that He has for us and the purpose that He has for our lives. By way of illustration, I was fortunate enough to grow up on a small farmette where we had a creek running through the meadow, which was not far from the house. So we were either in the house, in the barn, or in the creek, one or the other. But the creek would often change. When floods would go through, the creek bed would change. The sand would shift, and it would become a bit of a different place. So every time after floods, we were a little cautious when we went into the places where we knew it was good, safe ground to go in there. And one place in particular, we discovered by default that it was nice and sandy. The sand had washed out on the one side. The other side went around a slight turn, and it was nice and sandy. You could walk in there on your feet, and suddenly there was a straight edge that dropped off. And we didn't discover that, but then there was a time when some men came to put a fence in. And they had to put a post on the other side of the creek. And one of the guys waded into the creek to go across to put fasten the wires on the other side of the creek. And suddenly he was in over his head in the water. And maybe you're here this morning and you look back on 2018 and you found yourself in over your head. I titled the message this morning, Pressing Toward the Goal. Pressing Toward the Goal is the title of the message this morning. So I want to challenge us again this morning that as we take a step back, and many times the new year is a time of reevaluating, you know, how did we do in 2018? What are your plans for 2019? It's a time of evaluation. At Byler Hydraulics, there's all the employees go through at the end of the year, a time of evaluation where you sit down with your supervisor and he tells you if you were good, bad, or indifferent, or, you know, just gives you a little bit of an idea of how things were throughout the year, what they saw, what the reflection of it is. And I think it's good for all of us to do that. I think it's good for us this morning as we look at moving into 2019, that this is a mark where we can look back into 2018 and say, how did I do spiritually? How did I do in faith? How did I do in my walk with the Lord? How was it? And is there things that I can change, that I can move, that I can do different? Because looking back at the past many times gives us opportunity to change, to go forward. But most of my message this morning is going to be about going forward, pressing towards a goal, not giving up, keeping on. When we step into the waters and we don't know what's there, we have no idea what's going to happen. And you can turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. And Joshua is found right after Deuteronomy, before Judges. So Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to look at the life of Joshua a little bit as we consider what God has for us this morning. There are so many unknowns that we step into in life. We step into marriage. We decide to get married. We find the perfect mate, and we step into marriage, and we have no idea how it's going to turn out. Many of you here this morning have been a place where you have decided to have children in that marriage relationship. You have no idea how it's going to turn out. It's an unknown that you're stepping into. Maybe you're here today, and you changed jobs this week, or throughout the last year, and it's kind of an unknown. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know where you're going. You're doing it in faith. You believe it's the right thing, and you step out in it. There are so many unknowns in life that we are faced with.
And they're the only way that I know this morning to encourage you, to challenge you this morning, that to walk into the unknowns, we need to do it with our eyes fixed on Jesus. Amen? There is no other way to face the unknowns. We are here this morning. We don't build the wall or not build the wall. I don't know. Okay, so there's storms, there's floodings, there's earthquakes, there's things that make our hearts quiver because of the instability of things that we see in life, and it may be in your life. Like I said, there are personal things that are going on. Maybe there's a child or a parent or something that you don't know, Jim, if your dad's going to last a week. We don't know. It's unknown. We don't know. So there's a whole lot of faith required to walk into the future. So let's look at Joshua and how God ministered through Joshua. And starting in Joshua chapter 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" And I find this interesting because Moses, as you recall, went up into the mountain and didn't come back, and they never got to see his body and that kind of thing. So here is, all of a sudden, God's coming to Joshua and saying, "Moses is dead, and you're going to lead these people." Let's walk through it. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous," he says it again, "that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you?" Again, he says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Hallelujah. You know, that's a promise that was given to Joshua, but is also carried over into the New Testament. In Hebrews, that promise is given as well, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. So what is faith? When we look at this whole idea of being shaken by things that are going on around us, what is faith? Faith is simply this. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Let me read it again. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So when we have faith, when we walk into the future, it's not just blindly believing in something that is false or not. We're believing in the Almighty God as we walk into the future. Our hope, our trust, our faith is in what God can do, not what I will do, not what I have done, but what God will do. Our faith needs to be solely in Him alone. So the story is told, and whether true story or not, I don't know. It doesn't give any details to that, but it's in this Stories for the Heart. It's a book that I've had a long time. There was a young man who was at work in his office for a long day, hard, tired. He was tired, ready to go home. He left his cubicle, went out into the hallway to leave to go home, and as he headed towards the elevator, someone started screaming, "Fire, fire." And he looked, and the hallway began to fill with smoke before he could get to the elevator. And all of a sudden, his mind starts to race. He's on the sixth floor, and he says, "Surely I'm going to die." But he was unable to get to the elevator, the only means of his escape that he thought at that point. So then he thought of the fact that in his office there was a row of windows, high windows in his office. And he went back into his office and he went to a window and he opened the window quickly and the fire sirens were going. And he looked down and all he could see was smoke blowing across everything. And then there was people started to holler and to yell at him, "Jump, jump." And he found himself frozen, unable to jump because he was unable to see where he was jumping as the smoke was blowing across. And then the fireman came on the loudspeaker and said, "Jump, it is your only way of escape. You will die if you don't jump." And yet his feet were frozen to the floor, unable to jump. And I think all of us could probably identify with that fear. Jumping six stories into what is unknown. But this fireman assured him that they had spread a safety net and that it was okay for him to jump, and yet he couldn't bring himself to jump. And then after a few minutes, his father took the megahorn or the microphone or whatever it was and assured his son that there was a net there and that it was safe for him to jump, and he jumped. Maybe you're here this morning and you need to jump. And you know it. You have no idea where you're going to land. But when the Father speaks, there is a calming of the Spirit. When you have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you have your faith in God alone, when you are resting in Him, when you have learned to hear His voice, you will be able to jump. You will be able to do the thing that you think is impossible. Why? Because you have known the Father, because you know the Father. You know that He will not mislead you. You look back on life. You look back at the things that have happened, and it gives you courage to go on because God has carried you through some really difficult times. God has brought you through some things. He has established the fact that He is faithful. He is faithful. He will not let you down. And here in the book of Joshua, we have demonstrated for us a group of people demonstrating their faith. Moses sends spies into the land. As we look at the earlier on, he sends spies into the land. And these spies came back, and a bunch of them gave a bad report, but there was two that gave a good report, Joshua and Caleb. And the 10 faithless, they gave a bad report. Then we have these two that step up, Joshua and Caleb, and they say, "Hey, look, yes, there's giants, there's walled cities, there is all kinds of things, but God has promised that we would be able to take this land." So maybe you're here this morning and you're looking into the future and you see the walled cities, you see the giants, you see the armies that need to be conquered spiritually, and you start to quake in your boots. And that's exactly what they did in Numbers 14:1-3, it says this: "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not have been better for us to return to Egypt?'" When God had done all these wonderful things for them, God had led the way. He'd given them food all this time. And all of a sudden, they find themselves faced with a giant, and they fall back to being scared, complaining, grumbling. Why has God done this to us? Maybe you're here this morning, and you recognize that God has done a lot of good for you. But in looking at what is lying ahead, what's lying ahead of me, I can't see my way through it. I can't see my way through it. I want to encourage you this morning that God is faithful. One of the biggest things that causes our faith to be shaken is when we start to question God. That's when our faith in Him begins to be shaken. Let me say that again. When our faith is shaken is when we start to question God. Why? Why? Why could this happen? How could this happen? Why? Why? when we say, God, are you really going to do this or that? Loved one might have been taken prematurely. Maybe you have a child that's walked away from God. Maybe you lost your job. Relationships fall apart. Boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever it might be. You say, why? God, why? Suddenly it all starts to look like God's not in the picture anymore. Suddenly it starts to look like, where did God get to? How could God be in this? How could God be in this? That's why, my friends, we need to walk into the future knowing that God will not. He has promised that he would not leave you nor forsake you when you walk into the future. And as we see here in the story, as the story goes on, we'll be looking at Joshua chapter 3, where they carry out this here process of going into the land, and they come to the banks of the Jordan, and the river is raging, and maybe that's where you're standing this morning, at the bank of the river that's raging, and you don't see a way to get across. And you say, how is it going to be possible? God will come through. He will make a way. He doesn't urge us to find some way around it. He many times gives us the grace to walk through it. Many times we're not found, there's not a way found around it, but we have to go through it. We have to go through it. This same God that said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, has also said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. This same God who said, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, he has also said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. God is faithful through the difficult times. He asks us to believe quietly that it is he that brought us here. It is he that brought us to this place. It is he that will keep and preserve us at this place. It is he who will take us from here into the future. But it's not until we step into the water, it's not until we take that step that God begins to act. And when we do, we will never find God's grace and the power and the ability as we sit on the bank back away from the water. It is when we step into the water that we will find the grace to walk through it. Joshua chapter 3, let me look quickly at, says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the acacia grove and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Get out of your comfy tent. When you see the ark of the covenant and the priests carrying it, get out and go after them. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. And I say to you this morning, as we look into 2019, you have not passed this way before. There is no way that you can figure out what's going to happen tomorrow. Not possible. So we need to have faith and believe that God will carry us through it. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Then Joshua spoke to the priests and to take up the Ark of Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand as a heap. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, that the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, the feet of the priests who bore the Ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan was overflowing all its banks during the whole time of harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away. At Adam, the city that is beside Zartan. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arabia, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite of Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. As we come into this new year, and I ask all of you here this morning, do you without a shadow of a doubt know this morning that you are saved and that your life is right with the Lord? Because there is no other way that you can walk into the future. There's no other way to walk into the future. You can walk into the future afraid. But do you know this morning that you have made things right with the Lord? Do you know this morning that there was a time in your life where you gave yourself over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Was there a time when you bent your knee and said, yes, Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior? Because as we go into the future, if you have not made that commitment, then there is no God who is going to walk with you and part the waters. It is only by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God that you will have a way made for you. And that doesn't mean that everything is going to work out for you. That doesn't mean that the waters are always going to part. They might cover your head. But I want to walk into those waters knowing that I have a God who is walking with me into those waters. To walk into those waters without God this morning, you better be afraid. For with him is the only way that we are secure in the hand of God, is that we have made that commitment to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have confessed our sins, and made him Lord. Romans 8, 38 through 39 says this, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will be able to separate us from that love. Nothing. And that's how I want to walk into the future. That's how I want to walk into 2019. That's the confidence that I want to have. And I trust this morning that you all here this morning want that same confidence in knowing that you walk with God's hand in yours. We need to walk with God's word hidden in our hearts. As we saw here in Joshua chapter 1, he says that this book, the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You shall observe according to what is written, for then you will make your way prosperous. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed when we walk in the truth of God's word and the holiness of God. We have the account in Hebrews where the hall of faith, how Noah acted on what God has spoken to him. My question to you this morning, as you look at going forward into 2019, as you look at going forward, are you acting on what God has revealed to you? Are you acting on what God has revealed to you? Noah acted on what God had spoken to him. God told Noah to build an ark, and Noah acted on it. Abraham, God told Abraham to move, Abraham acted on what he knew. He didn't know where he was going. Noah didn't know what was going to happen. He knew there was, they hadn't seen a flood. They didn't know. Abraham didn't know where he was supposed to go, but he acted on what God asked him to do. He pulled up his tent and he moved. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they did not bow down and worship the king. They did not know what would happen. They knew that they would be thrown into the fire. They didn't know that they would be delivered. They went into that fire believing that they were going to burn. And I ask you this morning, are you acting on what God has revealed to you? And I heard a quote, and I forget where it was, and I wrote it down. Focus on what God has revealed, not what he has concealed. Focus on what God has revealed, not what he has concealed. Act on what you know, and God will provide the rest for you. I see that I'm going to have to move ahead here. Let's turn to Philippians 3, verses 12 through 21. Philippians 3, 12 through 21. And again, as I said earlier, the beautiful thing about the end of the year, the beginning of a new year, is like putting off the old, taking on the new type of thing, getting rid of things that are past. And looking at this year's scripture here, was what prompted me to title the message, Pressing Toward the Goal. And I want to just read this here to you, and then we'll make a few comments on it. In verse 12, it says this, Philippians 3:12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of what for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. If in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. So what is the nevertheless to the degree that we have already attained? We have already attained by faith through grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. So as we press towards the goal, as we press towards the mark, as we keep moving forward, it has to be in that same faith that we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And he is the one that will lead and guide and direct. But what captures my attention is this here in verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. And my challenge to you this morning as we look look behind us at the past, at the things that have happened, and you can just do as simply as 2019 or maybe all of your life. Looking back is not always beneficial to going forward. In fact, there is a day that has been established in America. Did you ever hear of Good Riddance Day? Anybody? Some are shaking your head. You've heard of Good Riddance Day. If you live in Times Square, you know what Good Riddance Day is. Because in Times Square, at the end of every year, and this year it was December the 28th, they had a Good Riddance Day where you could look at the things, and let me just read a little bit of here. The organizers encourage people to write their grievances down and then throw the list into shredders, symbolizing the act of letting go of painful memories, bad experiences, foolish mistakes, bad relationships, dumb choices, and long-held grudges that have been gunking up their insides, and they're encouraged to write them on a piece of paper and run them through the shredder. And if their shredder wasn't good enough, they put a sledgehammer there just in case. But get rid of what is holding you back from going on into the future. The ball and chain of unforgiveness will hold you back from being all that God wants you to be this year. I promise you, if there is things that you need to deal with, if there are things that you're holding on to, if there are hurts that you're allowing to hold you back, it's like trying to drag a ball and a chain along as you walk through life. You need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it to go forward. And that is possible through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to lay it before the altar, to lay it on the altar before the Lord and allow Him to cut the chain. So you don't need to try and drag that ball along with you. We all struggle with relationships. We all struggle with broken relationships. We know what it's about. Quoting Jack Hayford, he says this, "We are called to new faith that overcomes fear. Fears will trail you with a lying forecast that you can't make it. Fears will trail you saying in your ear, don't try it. Don't try it. You can't make it. You're not strong enough. God's not enough." The fears. He also says that fears are today's lies about tomorrow's promises. Fears are today's lies about tomorrow's promises. Fears are denials of hope rooted in doubts about God's power, presence, promise, and working. God always offers us the same guarantee of His presence, and that's enough to cast fears aside. God guarantees His presence, and that's enough to cast fears aside. Paul uses this kind of in the context of running a race and pressing toward the goal. And all of us know that if we are to run the race, we need to keep our eyes on the goal, and all runners are encouraged that don't look to the right or the left, don't look back, but look to the goal that you're fixed on. And if your eyes are fixed on Jesus this morning, I trust you that you will be able to run 2019 successfully, spiritually. Does that mean there won't be hard times? Absolutely not. But God has made the promise that if you keep your eyes fixed on Him, if you ever notice, there's blinders put on horses as they run, as they pull a carriage down the road. They have blinders on besides their eyes so that their eyes are fixed straight ahead. They don't see the stuff coming alongside of them and spook them. We need to have our blinders on. We need our blinders on and our eyes fixed on Jesus. Our eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't give up. We are called to lay aside every weight, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The goal, my friends, the goal is at the end. The goal is at the end. In a football game, in a basketball game, in any game you can possibly think of, most of them that are played with a ball, the goal is at the end. Home base is at the end after you have gone around the field. The goal is at the end. Keep pressing toward the goal. The goal is not now. It is not time to get weak. It is not time to lay down your guard. It is not time to lay down your armor. It is time to walk in the faith that God has called us to and to keep our eyes fixed on the goal. If the wall is built or if it's not built, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus this morning. It's the only way. If we are going to run the race with patience and make it to the goal, then our eyes need to be fixed completely on Jesus. Not what's happening. Don't give up. Matthew Henry's commentary says this, "Eternal life is a gift of God in relation to Philippians 3:12. The eternal life is a gift of God, but it is in Christ Jesus through His hand. It must come to us as it is procured for us by Him. There is no getting to heaven as our home, but by Christ as our way." And there is a growing movement, and even in America today, that there are more than one way. There is more than one way to get to God. There is more than one way to get to heaven. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is a lie. That is a lie from the pits of hell. There is one way. It is Jesus Christ and Him alone. True believers, I'm finishing the quote of Matthew Henry, true believers in seeking this assurance as well as to glorify Him will seek more nearly to resemble His sufferings and death by dying to sin, by crucifying the flesh with its affections and its lusts. Forgetting that which is behind, Paul said, forgetting that which is behind, reaching toward those things which are ahead, reaching toward the thing which are ahead. I think of Avery is starting to take her first steps. I just love when the grandchildren or children, when they started taking their first steps, they very gingerly, they take a step and you know, they're trying and they're taking these little steps. But if they look back or they try and turn, they fall. But as long as they keep their eyes fixed on you, you hold out your hands, their hands are out like this, and they're shaking and they're walking, and they fall down, but they get back up. Are you going to get back up? Are you down this morning? Have you fallen? Have you turned to the side? Have you tried to look back and you have fallen? Are you going to get back up? Are you going to get back up for Jesus? Because that is the only way to get to the goal, to get back up. To get back up. God is giving you that strength. God is giving you that ability to get back up. And it goes on in verse 17. Paul says this, brethren, join in following my example. And note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is where? Heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast. And that is the challenge I leave with you this morning. Stand fast in the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus and keep pressing toward the goal. And God, who is faithful, will accomplish it. Not you, not me. God will accomplish it. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word. Lord, as we anticipate the unknown, and we know that it's unknown, I pray, Lord, that we would be able to grow that faith that is in you alone. Lord, I pray for the faith to be able to walk into the future. I pray for the faith for this congregation, that whatever you have for us this year, Lord, for us individually, because Paul said, I press towards the prize, the mark. So it's an individual thing. Lord, I pray that for each individual person here this morning, that you would give the grace, the strength, the courage, the boldness to get back up if those have fallen. And Lord, that you would continue to lead and to guide and direct. I pray that you would continue to part the waters. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to burn into our minds the fact that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And that as we go forward, Lord, that we would lean on nothing other than you. Father, I pray that in the many times that you have reached out your hand, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for the times that you have reached out and picked us back up again. And we know that you'll do that in the future. Lord, it is with that confidence, it is with that assurance that we walk into the future. So, Father, I commit this fellowship to you. I commit each person to you. And, Lord, I pray that as we worship you, as we fellowship together, that you would receive the honor and the glory in it. God, take us to the goal. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessings to you. invite the chorister to come and lead us in the closing song.